spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today by Morton Wishengrad is entitled The Unbroken Circle and features Daniel Occo.
Mr. Muller.
Yes, Captain.
How's that passenger?
Rabbi Bettelheim?
What's his condition?
I thought the doctor told you. Rabbi Bettelheim died this morning.
Mr. Muller, I'll trouble you for the ship's log.
Yes, Captain.
The ink pot, please. Thank you. August 21, 1890. Died today, Rabbi... Mr. Muller, hand me the passenger list.
It's Albert Siegfried Bettelheim, if that's what you want, sir.
Rabbi Albert Siegfried Bettelheim. We bury the man at sea, Mr. Muller.
Captain, we're only 4 days out of Baltimore.
You have my orders, Mr. Muller.
Very good, sir.
Right away, Mr. Muller. What are you waiting for?
Very good, Captain.
Be all, Mr. Muller. Trunk full of books and a small suitcase of clothes.
All right. Get it all together.
Seems a pity we have to bury the rabbi at sea.
I'm only the mate. I'm not the captain.
No offense. Thought you'd want to see this.
What is it?
Diary, I guess.
Dear Rebecca, I've begun this little book on shipboard. I have a presentiment. This is a letter. This isn't a diary.
No harm to read it, Mr. Muller.
Curious, eh?
I liked him. Crew liked him a lot, Mr. Muller.
I have a presentiment, Rebecca, that this will be my last voyage. The doctor says there's every reason for me to live on. But your father has an intuition, Rebecca. I believe in reason, as you know, but being a rabbi, I don't discount intuition. There's a verse in the book of Psalms which says that a man blessed with many children is like a warrior whose quiver is full of arrows. My quiver has been full, and I'm thankful.
I think the ability to love people and children comes from being able to do things for them. Not the big things, the small everyday things like putting a child to bed, taking her to school for the first time, worrying when she's sick. I think love grows on these minute details. But this isn't why I'm writing. Do you remember when we were in Philadelphia? When my 5 girls and 2 boys insisted on growing bigger every day while my salary was almost invisible? Do you remember how the offer came to me to go to Richmond, Virginia?
You like our congregation, Rabbi Bettelheim.
Richmond's a fine place, sir.
Yes, I should think so. But I don't like this condition you impose.
Why, it's merely routine, Rabbi Bettelheim. All we ask is that you come to Richmond next weekend and deliver a trial sermon.
But why?
Because we have to see how you speak. Just a trial sermon, Rabbi.
Gentlemen, I'm a rabbi. I'm not a prize horse to be led out for either admiration or purchase. Well,
maybe so, but Rabbi, we still have to know how you speak.
Is it a rabbi you want, or a frock coat stuffed with elocutionary graces?
Well, you needn't be angry about it. We think it's a good offer. We know it's a good congregation.
Rabbi Bettelheim, you think it over.
No, I'm afraid not. I'll stay in Philadelphia. What is it, Esther? Is your mother all right?
No, the pain's come back. Father, it isn't about mother.
No?
No, Father. Father, are all rich people wicked and all poor people good?
Not necessarily.
Father, wouldn't it be nice if we weren't so poor for a change?
I see. The girls have had another meeting.
We have. We think Paul ought to go to college.
I'll find the money somehow.
But that isn't all. Felix is ashamed because all the other boys have new books. His school books are falling apart.
Well?
And I need a new dress.
Do you, Esther?
Crinoline, Father, with a low waist and puffed sleeves. And, Father?
Yes?
When I grow out of a dress, where does it go?
To Minna.
And when Minna grows out of it?
It goes to Rebecca.
And after Rebecca?
It goes to Sid.
Yes. After Sid, the seams haven't burst and the cloth isn't completely porous. Dress goes to Eva. Father, after Mother took sick, Sid, I was to be responsible for the household.
I understand, Esther. You want me to do something about it. Very well. See if you can find me a clean shirt and a change of socks. It seems that I have an engagement to go to Richmond, Virginia, and deliver a trial sermon.
Damala, Captain wants you on the bridge.
Tell the captain to...
Yes, Mr. Muller?
Never mind. Tell him whatever you want. Now, leave me alone. I'm reading.
But I... Very good, Mr. Muller.
And so, Rebecca, I went south to Richmond to deliver the trial sermon I said I would never make. The South that I found was not so stricken.
But that the chivalrous traditions of a more prosperous past softened the asperities of impoverished households. I liked the South almost from the beginning, Rebecca. Yet I was distressed by the feeling toward the North. I'm afraid I was rather tactless.
Glad you changed your mind, Rabbi. We'll be at my house in a few minutes.
Richmond looks... Well, it's not as I expected it to be.
Not the way it used to be.
No?
It's only 5 years since the war. Rabbi, we've still got a score to settle with the Yankees.
Scars take a long time to heal, don't they?
Some scars don't heal, Rabbi Bettelheim. There isn't a man here who hasn't lost a boy in the war. There isn't a man here who... We've been bled, Rabbi, wiped out, cleaned. The South doesn't forgive easily, and it doesn't forget.
I met a man from Georgia on the train. He talked as you do.
You don't approve, do you, Rabbi Bettelheim?
I can't say I do.
Well, perhaps I ought to give you some advice. Don't talk about the war. Talk about prayer, talk about anything you want, but not the war.
Generally, it's the things people don't want to hear that are most important.
Now, take my advice, Rabbi. Talk about the dietary laws. Tell the congregation it's wrong to mix milk dishes and meat dishes.
I'll do that. But don't you believe that the things that come out of a man's mouth are as important as the things he puts in?
Here's my house, Rabbi. Bettelheim, we want you here in Richmond. But it's up to you to show that you want us. I have an idea you've got a sermon written. I have an idea we may not want to hear it. It's a trial sermon, Rabbi. I thought maybe I ought to remind you.
All right, Rabbi. Thank you, sir.
I take my text from Isaiah. Come, let us reason together. Isaiah does not preach a religion all smoky sacrifice, assiduous worship, and callous ritual. For us, there can be no ignorant, fanatical, superstitious Judaism. Do we pray more or less? That isn't important. Do we love or hate? That is important. For honorable men, prejudice and hate are neither fit companions nor good occupations. A war has been fought between the American states. The war is over. Yet on all sides, since my arrival, I have heard nothing but hate for the North and prejudice towards its people. Now I admit that prejudice saves us one of the most painful troubles in the world, the trouble of thinking. With a well-developed set of prejudices, a man can go through life unhampered by mental disturbances. But the text is, come, let us reason together. And we are Jews who find their God and their world in the study of mankind.
I told you to tell the captain that
I'm the captain, Mr. Muller. One of the passengers wants to see you about the rabbi.
I'm reading. I can't be disturbed.
This passenger's a minister.
You heard me.
Yes, sir.
They were a generous congregation, Rebecca, for they permitted me to become their rabbi. I think those days in Richmond were the happiest we ever spent. Even now, I can see every room in the house.
The house on Marshall Street. And every morning, your mother lying on her bed, listening to the sound of five little girls and two boys going noisily off to school. Rebecca, do you remember how strange the neighbors thought it was when I also began to carry my books? Even Rabbi Zold thought it was strange. He had come on a visit from Baltimore to see us.
Bettelheim, what are those books for?
It's a long story, Benjamin, and I'll be late for class.
What class?
Oh, I'm nearly finished.
Finished with what?
For seven generations of my family, the oldest son has been a rabbi or a physician. Well, I've decided to be both. So I've been attending Virginia Medical College.
That's positively fantastic. How long does it take to write a sermon?
A day, sometimes two.
All right, let's say one day of seven. There's another day for the Sabbath. That makes 2 days out of seven.
I'm on the Richmond School Board. That takes nearly a third day.
3 days out of seven.
I'll add it up for you, Benjamin. Bishop Gibbon and some of the other clergymen meet with me for Hebrew lessons. That's a fourth day. I perform marriages, officiate at funerals, visit sick members of the congregation, prepare boys for confirmation, read to the children every night, write an occasional essay, do an occasional book review. Oh, I'm omitting a good deal. But let it go is another 4 days of work.
Bettelheim, that's impossible. That makes 8 days a week.
Yes. And the rest of the week, I attend medical school.
You're rather pleased with yourself.
Benjamin, I'm probably the most conceited man you ever met.
Seriously, why this sudden urge for medicine at your age?
I don't really know. I'm supposed to heal people's souls. I suppose now I want to try to heal their bodies.
Mm-hmm. From now on, when you visit the sick, you will hold the book of Psalms in one hand and count a pulse with the other.
Well, that's something of the idea.
Well, don't let me keep you, Rabbi Bettelheim. Oh, sir, allow me your school books.
Bettelheim, there's a case in the clinic I'd like you to look at.
Yes, of course, Dean.
The woman's a bit touched, Bettelheim. I think she needs a rabbi, not a doctor. She's as regular as trouble in Texas. Bothers us every week with some story of a worm gnawing the inside of a thumb.
A worm?
She insists on it. There's nothing wrong with a thumb.
It gnaws and it gnaws and it gnaws day and night, night and day. They tell me I'm crazy. 100 doctors tell me I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. There's a worm in my thumb. It gnaws and it gnaws and it gnaws day and night, night and day it gnaws. I'm not crazy, am I?
Of course not. Now just bend your head. I'm going to wrap this bandage around your eyes.
Who said it was my eyes? It's my thumb, I tell you.
That's why I want to cover your eyes. It'll be less painful that way.
Painful?
Yes. I'm going to operate on your thumb and take the worm out.
Oh, glory be.
Now let me tie the bandage.
It gnaws and it gnaws and it gnaws day and night, night and day, and I'm not crazy.
Too tight?
Eh? Oh, no, no, it isn't tight. But I can't see. Where are you going, doctor?
Why, you just sit there a moment. I need some instruments. Now you stay there and I'll be right back.
What to tell you? I wasn't crazy. Everybody said it was crazy, but I wasn't crazy.
Well, there's the worm.
It gnawed and it gnawed and it gnawed day and night, night and day. Squash it.
Why don't you bring it home? Show it to your neighbors.
Eh? Oh, you're right. That'll convince them.
And now see that the bandage stays on your thumb until the wound is healed.
You don't think I want another worm to get in, do you? I'll wear this bandage for the rest of my life.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. A week should be enough.
Then I'll wear it a month. Oh, there's the doctor who wouldn't believe me. Look, you pagan, the worm. My worm. No more gnawing. No more. And they said I was crazy.
Edelheim, what in heaven's name did you do?
Removed a worm.
Impossible. I take my oath there was no worm in her thumb.
Then perhaps I removed a worm from her mind?
What's that?
I blindfolded her.
Well?
Then I went out to the yard.
Forgive me, Bettelheim, but what sort of nonsense is this?
There are peach trees in the yard.
Peach trees.
I lanced a thumb, removed the blindfold, and there on the table for her to see was a worm.
And the worm...
From a spoiled peach, sir.
I must say, doctor...
Rabbi, sir.
Rabbi?
Yes. A doctor didn't find the worm, sir. A rabbi did.
Captain want now?
He wants to know if you're ready.
Tell him I'll be ready in a little while.
Very good, Mr. Muller.
The years that followed were mixed years, weren't they, Rebecca? But mainly, I think they were good.
Good until your mother died. I was able to help so many people, Rebecca, but I wasn't able to help her.
When she died, I remember how we sat. The children around me, two boys and five little girls, and all of us lonely and filled with emptiness. It was so hard for you who are small to comprehend that death was a penalty for life.
We're going to bed, Father.
You'll see that Minna brushes her hair.
I always do, Father.
I know that, Esther. Sarah, you help your sister with the little one.
She will, Father. Don't worry about us.
I wish I knew what to tell you.
Your sister Esther has the chief responsibility now. But I place you each in the charge of the other. Guard the one who is younger than you. And always try to keep the circle unbroken. That's all people live for. To keep the circle unbroken.
Come in.
You're Mr. Muller?
That's my name.
One of the sailors told me that Rabbi Bettelheim is to be buried at sea.
You're a minister, aren't you, sir?
Yes, I am. I knew the rabbi rather well. Mr. Muller, can't anything be done with the captain?
I'm afraid not, Reverend.
But we're only 4 days out of Baltimore.
There's no use to talk to the captain, sir.
Would this influence him?
Money?
$400. It's a remarkable thing, isn't it? The passengers barely knew the rabbi, but they raised this sum in less than an hour. Will you give it to the captain?
Not the captain, sir. Not him.
Then shall I?
No, sir. You're a good man like the rabbi was. When a good man has to ask a mean man for a favor, well, it's pretty humiliating to be turned down.
You're a good man, Mr. Muller. If you'll allow, I will try to read the Hebrew prayer for Rabbi Bettelheim.
Do you know the language, sir?
He taught me. Strange, isn't it? He taught me the words. He always liked to teach people, all manner of people. I hope I won't do it too badly.
I'll be with you soon, Reverend. There's some reading I have to finish.
Thank you, Mr. Muller.
I had a good deal, Rebecca. There were my books, seeing my children grow, loving Esther for the way she cared for all of you, seeing Felix become a fine doctor,
and sharing his triumph when Monsieur de Lesseps appointed him Surgeon General in Panama. And then crying inside when Felix came home with the tropical fever. I think you knew that when Felix died, I died too. It was very sweet of you, Rebecca, to make me go on this ocean voyage. But I'm an old man now, and the old dare not survive their young. Rebecca, I pray that you and Esther will keep the circle unbroken. I close now with the words of Micah. It hath been told thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. God bless you, Rebecca.
Reverend, this is his Bible.
Thank you, Mr. Muller.
We're ready, sir.
I think it is fitting that the words we speak over Albert Bettelheim should be the words of that Talmud which he loved so well. It is the way of the world that when a human being is born, all rejoice, but when he dies, all sorrow. Rather ought the opposite be the case. No one can tell what troubles await the child on its journey into manhood. But when a man has lived and died in peace, all should rejoice, seeing that he has completed his journey and is departing this world with the imperishable crown of a good name. Yiskadal, v'yiskadash, shmei rabo, v'olmo divru, chirusei. V'yamlech, malchusei, v'chayechon, v'yomechon, v'chaye, duchol, beis Yisroel, Bagolo uvisman koriv, yimru omen.
Copies of the script you have just heard may be obtained without cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Rabbi Elias Charles Sidney of Congregation Ahave Shalom of Portland, Oregon, speaking from Portland.
Dear friends, this morning, as we listen to the story of outstanding episodes in the life of Rabbi Albert Bettelheim, time touched yesterday, and we were for fleeting moments in the America of the years following the Civil War. The war had left its trail of blood, There were deep wounds, not too easily healed. But this rabbi, together with other men in the service of God, pleaded for patience, for mutual understanding. Said he, "Scars take a long time to heal. But even so, come, let us reason together. Let us understand that for honorable men, prejudice and hate are neither fit companions nor good occupations. Let us realize that prejudice saves us a painful trouble, the trouble of thinking." Men hearkened. True enough, the pain did not disappear in the night, nor was prejudice, with its ugly manifestations, entirely absent. But the union continued one. The circle of our beloved country remained unbroken. What a striking symbol, the unbroken circle. Whether it be the home, the community, the nation, how important it is that each remain unimpaired. In our beloved land, fortunately, this is still possible, for families were not scattered, communities not erased, nor our nation destroyed by the ravages of world war. For us, because of God's compassion, the circle continues unbroken. For parents and children, for neighbors, and for fellow citizens. And yet, we dare not be at ease, for we are part of a world whose circle has been broken, and whose unity, whatever it may have been, is shattered. No people can be free from fear, danger, and destruction until civilization's torn threads are bound together again. No nation will be safe, regardless of its weapons, until all men worthy of mutual association have met together and in good faith. There can be a happy world, and there will be once again, when men create a circle unbreakable by passing circumstance or studied prejudice, a circle whose foundation is an acknowledgement of the fatherhood of God, and whose structure is a recognition of the brotherhood of man.
The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Morris Memorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Daniel Ocko is
featured as Rabbi Bettelheim. The liturgical music was sung by cantor David Putterman, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and comes to you each week at the same time through the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the National Broadcasting Company.